الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم، اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Any person sort of looks at themselves and actually takes a long and deep stare in the mirror and asks the very poignant question of who am I, sometimes that's a very difficult question to answer. And one of the reasons it's so difficult is because so many of us carry so many faces in the life that we live. And oftentimes, in an effort to gain popularity, in an effort to gain acceptance, in an effort to be liked by others, in an effort to fit in an effort to try to avoid being different, in an effort to try to avoid the type of animosity that comes from choosing a path that's different or that goes against the grain of society, for various reasons, sometimes we act or say or think things that are other than what we may truly believe. And when people become very used to this, right, day in, day out, sometimes they are not able to even keep connection with their true self. Meaning they lose the sense of who am I? That I is gone because it's just so dispersed depending on the context or the situation. And part of that is because it's so difficult for so many people just to be real. And that's actually to be real, it might seem like an easy thing, but actually it takes a tremendous amount of strength just to be yourself, or just to be real, I guess, for lack of a better word. And so many people, when they go through life, their minds are so convoluted, their minds are so jumbled up with so many things that every single day that when they're going through the motions of life, they say one thing, they're thinking one thing else, you're thinking 3, 4, 5 steps ahead. After you have that interaction, you go home and you're thinking, well, I could have said this, and next interaction I'm going to do this. And you know, people have these very complicated schemes that they make in their mind. And sometimes it's for things which are very trivial. A sister may go to a party, she wore a certain dress, she didn't get as much attention as she wanted. The next time she's thinking, well, I have to get this type of dress, and I'm going to act this way and carry myself in this way. And if I say this, then I will have, you know, gain more popularity. And so they develop all these sometimes very convoluted thinking schemas within an individual that really makes life very difficult. Because all the time you're thinking, processing, and all of that just to create these filters or create these facades that screen who the real person is inside. And when there's so many facades and there's so many filters, sometimes a person themselves can't see through all of that. And believe it or not, it's not necessary that a person lives that in that complicated of a manner or that convoluted of a manner. Part of being real is just being simple. And there's a beauty to that, there's a purity to that, there's a simplicity to that, and there's ease that comes with that. Meaning that there's not that much processing. I mean, there's something to be said for hikmah, but a person is just real. And I guess one of the ways that I can describe that is that if you take 2 glasses of water, and you were to put sugar in one glass, and you were to put salt in the other glass. On the surface, you look at both glasses and they look exactly the same. Exactly the same. But if you're to drink the glass with sugar, right, it will taste completely different from when you were to taste the glass with water. And that's really sort of the difference between, you know, those who are truly pious or just real, and the people who are, you know, very complicated, because when you look at them, they both look at people like people. When you talk to them, they're both saying the same things. And when you interact with them in the same way. They do a job, you do a job, they drive a car, we drive a car. You know, they talk to their family, we talk to their family. They have friends, we have friends. They wear clothes, we wear clothes. They're doing the same exact things, but it's occurring at a completely different plane of simplicity and purity. And that's something that, you know, no one really sees. Only a person who themselves knows how full their minds are. And one easy way, you know, for many people to see how cluttered it gets up there is just see how it is when you're going to sleep at night. Right? There's so many people who can't go to sleep right now because there's just too much clutter there. Right? Trying to clear it out and then worrying about the next day. And then there's those people who have, there's just like nothing there. That, and like, you know, our teacher would say that, you know, you should be like the person who falls asleep before their head hits the pillow. And the reason, the context he had said that was because you should work that hard. But from another aspect is that your head is not going to fall asleep before you hit the pillow if you have too much clutter up there. There's no way. If you're worried about being popular, if you're worried about if you deceive people during the day, you said lies during the day, then the whole night will be worried about how do you cover up for those lies. Right? Or if you did a hiba, then you're worried about the whole next, you know, month about that person not going, telling that person will eventually get the word around to that person. Or if you're worried about popularity, then you said something which was just normal, it's nothing haram, but then look, everyone laughed, and the whole night you're just worried about that, oh, I can't believe everyone laughed at me. Right? Or you want a certain position in the masjid, and then or you want to be the imam, or you want, you know, certain place in the halaqa, or you want to be giving the khutbah. And this just starts, these type of things, this all this clutter starts eating up so people from inside so much so that there's no space to really be pious, to be religious. And so, you know, part of piety is this gross reductionism of taking out all this clutter and just being real. And like I said, it's very hard to do that because when you do that, you know, it may be that people like you, it may be that people don't like you, and it may be that it, you know, it will gain you popularity, and maybe that it might not. And the reason that it's so hard is a person is not ready to make that step unless they have some type of strength to cling on to. And oftentimes that strength doesn't come from inside. It only comes when a person has that strong of a relationship with Allah that they can sort of console themselves by saying, who cares if people like you or not, you know, whatever, it's just life is about Allah anyway. Right? When you start, and one thing is to say it, but one thing is you live it in such a way that you stop caring, right? Fine, I have friends. Fine, I don't have friends. Fine, I can do something. Fine, I don't do something. You know, people laugh at me. Fine, they laugh at me. They don't laugh. Because you have something bigger, something larger, something more meaningful to look for, right, and to care about. And that's why, you know, for example, you look at these, you know, starry-eyed young teenagers who are quote-unquote in love. They'll do the goofiest things in public, right? And people will actually laugh at them. But they don't even care. It's like they're living in their own world, meaning that they're connected to something which gives meaning that makes everything else pale in comparison. Right? In the same way, when people develop this type of, you know, true piety in their lives, and they can reduce it and just be pure and just be real, then it gives you that much meaning that the other stuff doesn't really matter that much. Right? And you stop caring about it that much. And then I thought I'd just, you know, share a few words about, you know, then we start talking about piety and what does that really mean. So for a lot of people, as soon as you start talking about piety, you know, they start thinking that, you know, I need to, you know, become a nafabi and wear a topi and, you know, grow out my beard. I mean, these are all good things, but I'll tell you that piety is not just something that you wear on your sleeve. It's really a state of the heart. And so while all of these are necessary conditions, you know, to have external adherence to Sharia, they're not sufficient conditions. Meaning that just because you have that doesn't necessarily make you pious. It's just like one step along the path. So, you know, you get, like when you hear about someone saying that, you know, I'm wearing an imama and, you know, I wear a turban and I go to the masjid and everyone starts calling me Sheikh so-and-so and, you know, should I start wearing the thing? And they think that they're being sincere because they're like, you know, they're trying to shun, you know, showing off, so on and so forth. But when you really achieve, you know, this realness, you know, this true purity, you don't even think about it. You just don't, like when you wear a shirt and go to a masjid, do you ever think that, oh, I'm doing something great? No, it's just something that you do. It's like, of course you wear a shirt. It becomes natural. It becomes your mizaj. So when a person like truly achieves this type of piety, it's like a state of being where there's very little artifice attached to it. It just comes naturally. And that's true piety. When you start struggling with, should I lead salah, should I not lead salah, you know, should I do this, should I not do this, you're worried about, you know, people thinking about you and you're correcting your intentions, and all of these things are important because they're stepping stones towards a certain point. But what I'm trying to say is that at a certain point, you know, well, you don't know that you arrived because you never really arrived. It's just shades of gray. But progress, a certain degree of progress is achieved when it just becomes very natural. There's no tasannu, right, in what you do. Tasannu is artifice. You're not showing off. It's not fake. It's just who you are. And then you don't think of twice about it, whether it's a beard or reading Quran or leading salah or teaching people. It just becomes so natural. And then a person who sometimes thinks about, okay, well, how do I ever achieve that degree of purity? And the way that you achieve that degree of purity, that degree of realness, where, you know, Islam just becomes natural and piety just becomes natural. And it becomes so natural that even when you do good deeds, you don't look back at it as if, oh, you know, subhanAllah, you know, today was a really good day because I did so many good deeds. It was just a normal day. And it's actually generally in those, when a person gets there, then you actually have, you know, istighfar for the way you spent your day, because like, I should have done so much more. So what, you know, what there is a very famous saying that Hasanatul Abrar Siniyatu Muqarrabin, that the good deeds of the righteous are the bad deeds of the Muqarrabin. So those who are close to, and that's why Ali radiallahu anh, you know, I believe he had said that, you know, that to the next generation, that you do certain things in your time that you deem piety, that if you were to do in our times, you would have deemed it sinful. And it sort of speaks to this, you know, this whole thing. But the idea is that when you get to this, you know, this state, you could say, for lack of a better word, of just being real, how do you achieve it? The way that you achieve it is that you have to keep on struggling every single day, continuously, 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 until good deeds become a habit. Until they become a habit. There's generally a struggle where a person has to make a decision about whether do I do a good deed or do I not do a good deed. And that's the first. So should I start praying tahajjud, should I not pray tahajjud? This is one struggle. I mean, am I going to give up some of my sleep to pray tahajjud or I'm not? Or a person might think, am I going to give up music? Am I not going to give up music? Am I going to give up movies? Am I going to give up movies? So this is the first stage. And then you get into this stage where you're actively fighting with yourself. Right? Actively fighting with yourself, struggling with yourself day in and day out. And this phase is actually the most difficult phase. Right? Because there's more often than that, not, there's more failures than there are success. Right? It's like you feel like you're taking one step forward and you take two steps back. You take one step forward and you take two steps back. And sometimes people think that this is a bad state. But actually, this is a good state. The fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a person tawfiq to actually make a struggle is a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling them close to Him. Now, if you look at the hadith about, this is actually the secret in the hadith about the person who reads the Qur'an, and if he reads it fluently, he gets one reward, and if he reads it, you know, with haltingly, then he gets two rewards. Why? Because there's effort in there. And the same thing actually even applies in muraqabah. There's a certain state of people who, you know, actually, you know, spend time in muraqabah, eventually reach a state of fana, where it's, you get annihilated, basically. And so many people strive for that state, and they feel bad because they're not in a state of fana. But it's actually been written that that stage where you're sitting in muraqabah, thoughts are coming, and then you let them go, and you know that you're trying to achieve that state, when you're actually making, because when you're in fana, there's no mujahada, there's just pleasure, right? Then you're just gone. You're just gone. It's fana fillah. There's just you and Allah, you're sitting in front of Allah, done. But so that's just pleasure, but the state to get over there, that's where mujahada occurs. That's when you're fighting yourself. That's when you're sitting down and your knees are hurting and you're thinking, oh, I need to get up. And then you're like, oh man, I forgot to send that email. And then you're getting up and the shaitan's coming from every side. That stage where you're going back and forth and then you remember some, you know, weird thing from something that you saw on TV 20 years ago and you're like, where is this coming from? This stage, and you're trying to kick that out, this stage is actually mahbub. Right? And it's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling a person closer to Him, giving the type of a person enough tawfiq to make that effort to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is tawfiq. So then you do this stage of mujahada, right? And generally after that, people achieve some type of plateau. Right? You don't ever really achieve an ultimate plateau because you always are afraid you can slip back. But then you achieve, you know, a certain degree of stability in that thing. The idea is that once you achieve a certain degree of stability in that thing, you can't stop there. Right? If you want to become quote-unquote real, you have to go to a more subtle level. Right? More subtle level in that same thing until it becomes so... you get to such a deep level that the things that you had, the quote-unquote now trivial struggles that you had dealt with way back when, then you don't even think about them. That's when, you know, you could say that being righteous becomes automatic, because those aren't the struggles you're struggling with anymore. You're on like on a different plane. So, I mean, what's a practical example? You know, people who are like, you know, people are struggling with lowering their gaze from a sister maybe. So, or from sisters walking around, especially now it's summer. But then, you know, if a person has sort of crossed that bridge, right? And now they're worried about, you know, I was walking and, you know, I was walking past the store and I saw something in the store and, you know, I felt my heart inclined to it a little bit. And, you know, like they're, you know, trying to lower their gaze from the dunya. So if a person is all the time just worried about, you know, lowering their gaze from the dunya, that night when they're going to sleep, they're not going to have some great thing that, oh, I didn't look at a single sister today. It's not even an accomplishment. It's just sort of a given. Of course, I wasn't going to look at a sister. They were struggling somewhere else, meaning they become so preoccupied at something at a higher level that all these other things just seem trivial. And the safety that accrues from that type of state of mind, that when you achieve that state of being, that it saves you from takabbur. Right? It saves you from takabbur in the sense that you don't feel yourself, oh, I'm so pious, I'm so righteous, you did those things, because you're like, you don't have time to even think about that. You don't have time to think about that. And the other safety that actually comes from that is that, you know, when you're living with other people, when you're interacting with other people, the way that you interact, while you're on the surface, you know, you might seem just like the same way as the other person. So two people are sitting and having a conversation. One person is sitting and having that conversation, they're actually engaged in that conversation. The other person, all the same time, he's thinking, well, I have 3 hours left for Zuhr. Last Zuhr, I didn't pray with that much concentration. I mean, last Zuhr yesterday, I didn't pray with that much concentration. SubhanAllah, you know, I need to really focus this time on Zuhr. So their mind is already, you know, working towards something else. So on the surface, you know, these two people that you'll meet, like the two glasses of water, will seem exactly the same. But the state of mind is something completely different. And when a person is trying to be righteous, that's actually a good thing, because no one will know. Right? No one will know what's going on inside your mind. And that's one of the things that you want. Allah Hasan al-Basir, rahimahullah, he said that you should hide your good deeds the way you hide your bad deeds. And this is like sort of a subtle level of that. That when you can show this, you can act, you're not even acting, you're just completely normal with other people. Look at, I mean, people think that when you become pious, right, they're like, I'm going to become really pious. So then they go home and they're like sort of frowning and they're like, don't talk to me, and, you know, and they're just holier than thou, and, you know, they're just very stern. And, you know, people, they're like, look, people even sometimes they'll acknowledge, man, that guy's just hardcore. But that's not deen. Deen is not walking with your face upside down, it's actually walking with your face right side up. That's actually that's the beauty of one person really achieves piety. Because look at Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, huwa mutawasil al-ahzan, mutadawim al-fikr. That all the time he was had this huzn, this type of sadness inside him. He had this firaq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was far away from his beloved. He had fikr for the ummah. He was mutadawim al-fikr. All the time he had this fikr in him. But how is he described in the shamayil? He was smiling. Meaning that he would carry that burden of spirituality inside. Right, this whole burden inside, but when people were around him, they won't feel it. He wouldn't let other people feel it. Right? And that's actually a type of piety that, you know, when you have this sort of this weight of akhirah and biyama and sin on yourself, that sometimes when people are even around themselves, very subtly sometimes they like to let it leak. Right? Rasulullah didn't even let that leak. Much less let it leak that he was in that internal state. He wouldn't let the burden of that come on someone else either. That's what you call being completely natural. That's what you call being real. He's so real and he had so much strength that he could keep all of that inside. He lived like a normal person. He sat with, and what did his family say? That when he was to sit with us, he should just like talk to us. It was just like, you know, sitting like with a normal person. But inside, it was not normal. Right? It was like that glass. There was so much depth. It was like, you know, this whole universe that was going on inside Rasulullah. But no one, I mean, you can't necessarily see that. He was just sitting with them. But then when the Adhan was given, he was like in a different zone. Because then it was the unveiling of all that thing that was going on. Otherwise, his heart was kind of yadhkurullah fi kulli ahyani. He used to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. So, I guess the take home message is that a person should realize that one of the most beautiful things that you can achieve in life is just to be real. It gives you a tremendous, when we talk about Islam giving you peace, this is one of the ways it gives you peace. Then you don't have to backtrack, you don't have to cover your tracks, you don't have to plot, you don't have to scheme, there's no kashmakash, you're not running from here to there, you're not wearing two faces, there's not a thousand things cluttered in your mind. It's just you're you, right? And you're living life. And it's just this reductionist actually makes life so easy and makes life beautiful in a way. It gives you a very special type of peace. Number two, that how the way that you achieve this type of realness, and particularly this type of realness in one's piety, is that you have to constantly make some type of mujahada, that you accomplish, you slay one demon after another, one after another, until it becomes to the point that the things that you've done much earlier become non-issues. Right? And when you achieve that type of naturalism with your deen, that serves as a protection in terms of sincerity, it serves as a protection in terms of riya, it serves as a protection in terms of trying to seek sum'ah, so on and so forth. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us this realness in our life, He grants us this naturalness when it comes to our deen, that He grants us the peace of mind that comes with being real, that He allows us to reduce our lives to the most basic things that we need, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that He grants us with sincerity in our actions. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.